But what we've been doing as we try to hope for revival, we talked about how revival might be surprising. It might not be, those of us who have church experience, it might not be a big emotional experience all at one time. But we want to look at what a sort of daily, consistent, sustainable experience of revival might be. And so in order to do that, we've been looking at a kaleidoscope of metaphors from the Apostle Paul. We looked at Romans 7 and 8. And Paul talked about how you've been made alive in the Spirit, this idea of we're all deeply spiritual people because of what God has done for us in Jesus' death and resurrection. So there's no need to walk in the weakness of the flesh or to be overwhelmed. There's this deep spiritual sense of power is sort of the first metaphor. And we looked in later on in Romans 8 talking about how we're like priests and royalty who is in charge of God's huge reclamation project in this world of injustice and brokenness. We're like in charge of this massive project, right? That's another metaphor. Another metaphor is like each one of us is this piece of art that God is like shaping and transforming like every day. God is like renewing us. And you know how an artist will like tinker with their creation and always like, you know, they'll sit there and look at it and they'll one more stroke of paint, right? That's what God is doing with each one of us. He's transforming us in that way. And then last week, we looked at this metaphor that life is like a battle, right? That there are these spiritual forces of evil around us that might sound sort of freaky and sci-fi, but really as we think about the social structures of injustice around us, and even simply our work patterns and all the things around us, not just in Berkeley, but really anywhere, that's one of the ways that we're sort of shaped. And the passage last week actually talked about how we can put on this spiritual armor that will protect us for the battle. How there's a sense in which revival comes, even though this is like a conflict zone that we kind of live in. But we're made strong for that kind of the world which stresses us out and bothers us and you know all the different things in the world. And so we talked about that last week, but we talked especially about time and ways in which time pressure, especially in Bay Area culture, it sort of suffuses everything. And so I think that if we experience revival, that time will be an important part of it. So in our life groups this week, those of us who are newer, we gather in our homes and a lot of the time we'll have a meal together. We're also unplugged just like this. Can everybody hear okay? Anne, can you? Okay, great. I have a big mouth too. Yeah. It's a gift. It's a gift. You're an actor. Yes, we know. But what we did is we actually tried to ask, like, what's the spiritual force behind our sort of time rhythms that we experience in the Bay Area? The way so many of us are stressed out, like, what's the spiritual force behind that? I'd just like to actually take a minute, since it's kind of a family setting. I'm wondering, is there anything that came out of those conversations this week that you would be willing to shout out in bullet point form right now? And it's okay if we wouldn't, but oftentimes it's kind of nice to hear what you discerned as we talk together in our small groups, like what kind of, it's not just time, like, oh, I'm so stressed out, but like what's the spiritual force behind that? What drives people to be so busy and for that to be sort of an honored excuse, like I'm too busy, I can't do it. Like what's behind all that? I know it's hard to summarize, but if there's one or two people who have something to share, I just wanted to ask, like, what did you notice in your groups?
I don't think it's, I think that's a lovely excuse to give.
Ah. Right. Ooh, that's deep, right. I like it.
And this is a similar thing, and this is not a fully formed thought, so I apologize. But off of what Charlene said, is I think it can go even deeper, that it's not just like we say that because we just want to do things we really want to do. Mm-hmm. But I think we have a way that we can convince ourselves that it is that there's some sort of God sanctioning behind the thing. Like, we make the thing that we want to do what we think God is saying we have to do.
Well,
so we kind of trick ourselves into spiritualizing our commitment and our obligations and all these kinds of things, because it gives us permission to say,
right,
I got to do the thing I got to do.
Right. Okay, now you're getting deep.
Well, we were just talking as well about how 30 years ago we used to laugh at the people who had the day timers, like half laugh at them, half respect them, the ones who, you know, planned out their day really carefully. And then 20 years ago it was the people with the Palm Pilots. And, you know, but it was still like up to you to decide if you wanted to plan that way or not. But now we can put meetings on other people's schedules and block in all the time in a way that we culturally expect people to adhere to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really true. I was looking at a statistic this week that says that Americans on average check their phones every 12 minutes. That Americans on average probably check their phones up to 80 times a day. Yeah. So think about whether you think you're over or under. Are you above average or below average on, you know? And so many of those phone like jolts are things that make demands on our schedule, right? All the time. It's our whole experience of time has really changed. I read an article this week at the Atlantic Monthly. It was actually from February, but I hadn't seen it until this week. Is on workism, and it's a guy who explicitly says that he's not religious, but he's actually he and this, you know, Atlantic Monthly, right? It's not sort of a preacher kind of sermon thing, but he's talking about how workism, our experience in the workplace has become a sort of quasi-religious experience for people. And that's a reason why our time is so kind of driven in a certain direction. So I thought it was a great article. And I'd like to invite you to, I'd love to talk more about it with folks. I just thought, I'd love to talk about this with people at church. So I'm actually going to send out an email invitation to do just that. Maybe have a couple conversations. If you experience that sort of time stress or time pressure, would love to, you know, because sometimes it's an excuse, but sometimes it's not. Like, sometimes it's real, right? We have to discern which is which. So I would love to sort of talk through that article and to kind of look at it from a biblical sort of spiritual perspective and see, like, you know, what's right about this article, what's not. And I think maybe we could have a larger church conversation about it at some point. But I really feel like this morning, I really feel like what God has for us as we continue to go from survival to revival is to actually move in a different direction now. This is an important moment in our conversation that we're having. And the way we're going to kick it off is by, yes, another metaphor. Because you don't have enough metaphors, because Paul is making a kaleidoscope of metaphors. And the text that Brittany read this morning were these two metaphors. In a sense, what Paul is saying this week, in addition to all the other metaphors we've talked about, is Paul is saying what God has done in Jesus Christ, what God has done for each of us, is he has made us, like, spiritually speaking, we are like Olympic athletes, is what he's saying. And you may not feel that, right? I think a lot of us actually don't feel that spiritual, right? We don't, like, if you were to judge your success, as everyone judges their success, you know, we compare each other at work or in any of these places. If you were to sort of judge your spiritual success, probably most of us in this room would just kind of feel like, well, I'm kind of a spiritual couch potato. You know, I'm like, at very best, maybe I'm a spiritual weekend warrior. Right? How do you feel, like, in a like using that analogy? What God says, what the Apostle Paul says in the Bible, is that you're actually like an Olympic athlete spiritually. If you believe in Jesus, if you're seeking God, that what God has done in giving you the Holy Spirit makes you this spiritual Olympic athlete. It's really amazing, and I think we should let that sink in a little bit and maybe feel the tension between our perception of ourselves and what the Bible says. Like, what? You're a spiritual, like, Olympic athlete. That in a sense, like, you have made the Olympic team in the spiritual realm. You are like, remember a few years ago, like, the Jamaican bobsledders? Remember that? These unlikely, in a tropical country, these unlikely guys, like, they do the bobsledding, right? And they compete in the Olympics. Imagine if they won. That would have been crazy, right? That would have been bigger than, like, the U.S. hockey team that won the gold medal in 1980. Like, that's really, you know, that would have, Jamaican bob. So basically God is almost saying, like, spiritually speaking, you are like the Jamaican bobsledders that against all odds actually win the Olympics in that kind of event. When we talk about athletes, like a lot of people will talk about an athlete that has upside, right? That means maybe they're a young athlete, but they're going to develop into a superstar soon. That what God is saying in each one of us, that spiritually speaking, like you have the most upside in any area of your life. Like your career, your body, like that's all going downhill. But spiritually speaking, that's, you have tremendous upside, right? Oh, I know some of your careers are going up still. Maybe I'm projecting. I don't know. Maybe my career is going downhill. But we have tremendous upside, spiritually speaking, that God has made us these athletes. And that's what the text says. Paul is, and you can look on your phone if you want to look along with us. But the text that Brittany says, don't you know that when people run on the racetrack, everybody runs, but only one person gets the prize? Run in such a way that you'll win it. So this is actually from an era in history when the Olympics were just getting invented, right? The Olympics came from this early, like this was probably like the fourth Olympics when this text was written. I don't know if that's probably anachronistic, but it was new, right? They were doing the actual, like they would run naked. I'm not proposing that, but they would run. And so Paul is like saying, you know that new cool thing we just made up, the Olympics? Like we're like that. And so obviously when you go on the racetrack, run in such a way so that you'll win. And so these athletes, they would compete for a little laurel leaf crown, right? And that was so prized, right? It was glorious. And that's what the Greco-Roman Empire really like honored, is glory and victory. So they would work so hard. It says, everyone who goes in for athletics exercises self-discipline in everything. And they do it just to win a crown that perishes. Like, obviously, your laurel leaf crown is not going to last very long. But we do it to gain an imperishable one. This sort of spiritual, the athletic sort of analogy that we have, like the spiritual life that we can live, is of infinite value. It's like another place when Paul writes, Paul says, go into training in godliness, right? This sense of, like, spiritual maturity and spiritual flourishing. Go into training in that. Put your effort into that. And he goes on to say, like, physical exercise has limited usefulness. Like, he's not anti-body. Like, everybody should go work out. Like, we all have bodies. We all need to at least walk, you know, at least, like, our bodies need that exercise. And that has some limited value. But in comparison, Paul is like, your spiritual training is of infinite value because it's going to help you in this life right now, and it's going to help you even in the life to come. Like, that is what it's about. Like, your primary identity in this analogy here, in this metaphor, is that you're all spiritual athletes designed to excel and flourish in the spiritual realm. That's the destiny, I think, that we all have here. So I think the reason I've been throwing all these metaphors at you is because the first key to revival is really imagination, right? These very optimistic pictures of who we are. It's very important to get that into our souls, right? And even to feel some of that tension, like, I don't feel like a spiritual athlete. I feel like just I'm trying to, you know. But Paul's like, no, that's your upside. That's who you are. Live into that. That's the sort of hope and imagination that is the first key to revival, right? And that's what we've been talking about. So today we're shifting a little bit. It's a big shift, and it's going to get very practical because the second big key to revival is to actually live into this identity that you imagine and to actually practice. If you're a spiritual athlete, train like it. You know, you think about these Olympic athletes who do run in such a way as to win, right? Who do go in for, like, serious training. Like, we've all watched, you know, we've probably all seen the Olympics, and you know how they do those moving pieces of the athlete's training schedule, right? And they film and they get up at 5 in the morning and they do gymnastics and all these things, right? And they play like the soft music and it's very inspiring, right? Or think about like Rocky. Remember the old Rocky movies where, you know, he's like, you know, hitting a slab of meat in the freezer and he's running up the steps in Philadelphia where, he's drinking an egg and all that stuff. Athletes who love their sport, like, Olympic athletes are all amateurs, right? What does that word mean? Amateur is like Greek for is it Greek or Latin? Ama? It's Latin, right? Whatever it is, look it up. everybody Google it. But it means you love you're doing it for the love of it. And so these athletes, like whether it's Rocky fighting in the ring or whether it's like the gymnast that gets up at, you know, 4 a.m. before school and, you know, she's 12 years old, whatever it is, they're doing it for the love of the sport. They're really into it. Excuse me. And so people like that, they have they're really into their training schedule because they know that their performance, that their experience of when they do that gymnastics routine, it will be the result of all of those 4 a.m. times. It'll be the result. If you win in that ring, it'll be the result of hitting that side of beef over and over and over again, right? And so they're super into it. So if you talk to an athlete, they'll go on forever about their training schedule, right? Oh, I do. And they're tweaking it always, too. Like, oh, I'm doing this, and then I'm doing these kinds of things. You know the sports fanatics that are, like, really into it? If you're not a sports fanatic, these people are very annoying. But you can feel their love, right? They're really into it. True of anything you could say. Anything that you're into, you practice it because you love it. Their imagination has been captured by the love of the sport, and it gets translated into a practice that then manifests itself once they're on the track, once they're in the ring, once they're on there on the uneven bars or whatever it is, right? So spiritually speaking, like, what do I mean by this? What does it mean to have a spiritual, like, workout regimen? What does it mean to do to have spiritual practice in this way? what I mean, actually, is any intentional practice that increases your spiritual mind share. Does that make sense? Like, you know that passage that we're all memorizing now, right? To be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a practice that brings your mind back into the important spiritual realities that you actually believe in, right? And so it could be, it's actually things that are all really familiar to those of us who have a churchy background or even those who might not have a churchy background. It's things like prayer. And it's all kinds of different ways to pray, of course, right? You can pray in silence. You can pray while you're moving. You can pray while you're not moving. You can pray, in public. You can pray in private. You can write prayer. All these different ways of praying. Pray for other people. Pray for yourself. Pray prayers that are already written. Pray as you come off. You know, all kinds of different ways to pray. All kinds of different ways to hear the scripture. Like, this is one of them. It's some guy talking about what he thought this week about the scripture, right? You can listen to it you can do a podcast, you know, all these different ways to do worship even, right? All kinds of different styles of music, non-musical worship, all kinds of stuff, some of which we have love and some of which we hate, right? Everybody has strong opinions about worship. Like, we could say, what's a worship song that you hate? And we'd all have a long conversation. So you find the ones you love and ones that are working for all these different ways, all these different intentional practices of increasing our spiritual mind share, right? And sort of stepping in to those kinds of things. It gets in your soul. It really does. I think I've been thinking a lot about worship, even the worship that we do in this context here, right? And I think the way these spiritual practices get into our soul are a little bit similar to the way athletes, when they train, the way it gets into their performance ultimately someday, right? It's quite similar. In the moment, you might not feel anything big. You may or you may not. Like, when we sing worship songs in here, like, sometimes it feels like the Spirit really catches us, right? And we're just, like, lifted into God's presence in a way that we can feel in the moment. And we're like, yeah, it's really powerful, right? That's a little bit like when you have a good workout, right? You hit your max or you had your personal best or something like that. Those things happen, and that's great. But that's not the only way that worship is valuable, right? Worship is not about chasing that peak experience because, by definition, it's not going to be a peak experience every week. Actually, the way worship shapes you as a practice is just that it gets into your soul slowly. It sort of leaks in, right? So revival happens, like, little by little. Revival is very patient. Revival is very slow. Revival is even plodding, actually. And so we give thanks when we have a great worship time. It's really powerful. But most of the time, it's like leaking into our soul. It's slowly shaping us. The way I sort of experience that is like even week to week, like sometimes I go through worship, didn't really feel anything. Maybe I was distracted. Maybe I had a sore throat, whatever it is. But then I find that during the week, sometimes those songs come back to me. You ever notice that? And you might just think like, yeah, it was a terrible time of worship. It was like, you know, for some reason they had the pastor lead worship and it was awful. And you know, but then the song comes back to you, and maybe even at an opportune moment. You know what I mean? And it becomes, maybe it becomes kind of a soundtrack for the week, even just kind of snippets. And that's why we sing songs, because it gets into our soul, it reaches our imagination. That's what I mean by these sort of spiritual practices. Right? And so the way God revives us, the way God changes us, is through these intentional times that we just give mind share to God in some way. And so the way God changes us is not like in the moment, we're going to try really hard. Sorry, I do have a cold, so I keep coughing. But it's not like Jesus calls us to love our enemies. And so in the moment, you're like, I'm going to try really hard to love that, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. No, but instead, you actually pray for that person. You pray about that bitterness. You worship in the place of that. You lament the broken relationship. You get with God. And God changes your heart in that space, right? You talk to a friend about it, another Christian. They pray for you. God moves in your heart in that space. And then you find that when you encounter them again, maybe there's a little more love there. Right? That's how these things work. That's how we become these spiritual athletes. The practice of intentionally getting our mind share on these things, God slowly transforms and changes us, and we find later on that we have a life of revival. Too many times we have a view of religion in which we only go for the spiritual stuff when we're already in crisis. Right? And by then we haven't like built up a practice. We haven't built up a steady connection. And so it can be hard. It sometimes meets us, you know, because God is so gracious. God meets us in those places at all. But what I really find is that it's in those practices that we live through that then when we hit the crises, then we find that there's just a flow there. I mean, I'm experiencing that this very week where, you know, my family is, I mean, we sent out an email. I won't go into the details, but it's a really hard time in our family now. Everything's up in the air on a very day-to-day basis. And I know that for both Jody and I, we're really grateful for the spiritual practices that we have on a day-to-day level. You know, because now it's a time when, man, I really need it. And I really need that connection with God. And you know what? I can get it. It sort of comes naturally. Actually, it comes supernaturally. But you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It just comes naturally in that space. And so I would say that for all of us, we don't need it. We don't need it. It's okay. It's a sign. Yes. The lights come on. That's what happens. At some point, the lights just come on. So you might actually be a person that feels injured. Maybe you feel like an injured athlete. You know, maybe God is like, you're an Olympic athlete. And you're like, yeah, but I tore my ACL. That's okay. Maybe training for you is like physical therapy. Shout out to Dan. Where's Dan? There's Dan. Physical therapist, right. And physical therapy is actually quite similar to athletic training, right? They have some of the same stuff. Like, when I hurt my shoulder, I did the same stuff you do in the gym, right? So even if you're in a place of crisis, even if you're in a place of, like, struggle and you just feel injured, that invitation into spiritual practices that will shape your mind, that will increase your spiritual mind share, I just think they have so much promise for us as a church, as a community, right? And I know that for us, I guess probably if I were to look out at us here, we probably, when it comes to spiritual practices, we're probably three different kinds of people in the room today. Some of us are like, I don't know what you're talking about exactly. It's an interesting metaphor, but I really don't know what you mean precisely. And if that's you, you might sort of say, like, I feel like I'm kind of a newbie in this. You might feel like a person who would go to the gym for the very first time. And, like, think about you've never been to a gym, and maybe that's true for you. I don't know. I would imagine that those machines might look like torture devices. Like, seriously, think about somebody from another culture, and they go into a gym, and they're like, what do people do here? It looks like a torture chamber. But so you might feel like, I don't even know what you're talking about. That's okay. This is I believe that this church is a great place to train spiritually and for people to share their wisdom and what they've experienced. And we're going to get to that in just a minute as we close here. So if you're new, I just want to say that's totally, if you feel lost right now, I would say that what we're talking about is really going to come into focus in the weeks to come. So really be encouraged. I think there's another set of people here who maybe feel like, yeah, I remember those good old days when I was really in training. I remember those days when I was spiritually in great shape. You know? I remember there was a time when Jody, who was not an athlete at all, she just decided, like, I'm going to run a marathon now. And she started by running, like, 1 mile, and it almost killed her. But she had this training plan. She was really into it. Jody's very organized, right? And every day she did a little more, and she's like a total non-athlete, right? And by the end of the day, she ran the LA Marathon, and she actually got a good time. And I just realized that even, like, all of you, many of you, unless you have knee problems like me or something like that, you could run a marathon. You really could. You have that potential in your body if you just, like, slowly train. Like, we have this potential. And spiritually speaking, it's true as well. But some of us kind of feel like, yeah, I remember those good old days. I remember those marathon days. But you might sort of feel like, yeah, my best days are behind me. But what God is saying to you this morning is it's not true. The glory days can come back. If we step back into a sense of training that's right for us in our spiritual condition right now. No matter how injured you may be, no matter how spiritually old and washed up you may feel, God says, I have revival for you. And that's what I'm calling us to, like, hope for and believe in this season before Thanksgiving. Between now and Thanksgiving, I really want us to lean into this, right? So some of us might feel like newbies. Some of us might feel like old, washed up athletes. Some of us might feel like, yeah, this is working for me now. Yeah, I am experiencing God's goodness as I practice, like, as I practice these sort of spiritual exercises throughout the day. I'm meeting God, and it's really exciting. If this is you, then I'm sure this is not boring for you, because you're like one of those annoying athletes that want to talk about their workout schedule all the time. And you're going to get the chance to do that in this conversation that we're about to have moving forward. Okay. So I want us to lean, as a way of reaching revival, over the next 6 or 8 weeks, I think, I'm not sure what it is, I want us to actually lean into helping each other tweak each other's spiritual workout schedules. And I want us to be open to the idea of actually getting excited about that. And I want us to be open to the idea that this church actually is a uniquely good place to do this. And that's what I'm going to talk about next week. Why I think this church is a really good place to, like, work out spiritually together, to experience spiritual flourishing together. I really do think it's a uniquely good place. And I have the sermon already, but I'm not going to give it to you now. I'm going to end just now. But here's what I want to end with. I want us to end with something very practical. And I want everybody who's part of this community to do this week. This is one exercise. I'm going to send out a spreadsheet. We'll actually put it on the This Week at CWOW email that we send out every week. And it's just going to be a simple survey. And on the survey, I hope you'll talk about this in life groups this week too. But on the survey, it'll just be a very simple question asking, what spiritual exercises, so to speak, have you experienced that have connected you with God? What spiritual exercise have you done in the past? Again, it could be any kind of prayer, worship, scripture, whatever. It could be a lot of different things. And those of you who have experienced this know what I'm talking about. What's a very particular kind of exercise that you've experienced in the past or you're practicing regularly now that have contributed to your own spiritual flourishing, your sort of spiritual athletic excellence, your whatever that is? How have you experienced that through various times? And I want us to actually look at that spreadsheet, and I'll bring it up next week in the sermon. I really would like us to fill that out, because I think it'll give us a kind of cool electronic picture of the spiritual riches in this church. I really think it'll be encouraging. to see it together, and it'll give us the sense that in some way that we can be each other's personal trainers, that we can like really be a place of spiritual flourishing in ways that are new and that we encounter a sort of fresh hope. It's a little bit like this. I want us to invite, like, the group of friends of mine who live on Potrero Hill, and they do a lot of, they have a Christian small group together, they do a lot of things together, and every year they, and they're not especially athletic, no shade on them, but every year they run a race together. And what's interesting about this race is that if you know races, they have a lot of different options, right? The Boston Marathon, they used to run the Boston Marathon, right? And the Boston Marathon, you may know, is not just the Boston Marathon, because they also have an event for people who are differently abled in various ways. They have a wheelchair race, right? They also have a half marathon. They also have a 5K. They have all these different things. There's something for everybody. So when my group of friends signs up for a race, they all sign up for something different, but they're all training together, right? So it's really cool, and it's fun, right? Because normally, they wouldn't be able to just run on their own. If it's just like, you have to have the discipline by yourself to go running, it is not going to happen. You know what I mean? If you had that experience, it's just you to decide, am I going to exercise? And you're like, no, it's not going to happen. But when this group all decides, oh, we're going to run together, and it's coming up on May 4th or April 17th or whatever it is, and we're going to train, and we'll do it together, and like you're newer at running, so you just do it this way, and we'll like go to the track, and we'll bring Gatorade, and then we'll eat lunch afterwards, and maybe totally overcompensate with calories, you know, whatever it is. It's really cool, and it's really fun. And there's something for everybody, and you help each other sort of train. And you're like, oh, I think I need to buy new shoes because I'm getting shin splints. And everybody's like, oh, yeah. And it really builds up friendship and spiritual friendship. That's what I'm hoping happening for us. I'm challenging us to all sign up for this spiritual race and run in such a way that you win the prize. And I'm recognizing that we're going to run different lengths, and we're going to have different training programs. And that'll be different depending on our stage of life and where we're at and how injured we're feeling. But there will be a sense of accomplishment and encouragement and flourishing and revival that I think will stand up, will rise up within us. So look for those emails. Let us now train and run for the race by worshiping unplugged or not unplugged. Let me pray for our time of worship and then we'll continue. God, thank you for giving us each other to encourage each other. Lord, thank you for the spiritual upside that you've given us. Lord, thank you for thinking so highly of us. Thank you for giving us so much potential and patiently calling us out in us, Lord. Lord, give us a sense of humor. Lord, give us a sense of patience, Lord, as we step into this together. Lord, I just pray for our process. I pray that it would be fun. I pray that it would be encouraging. I pray that it would be life-giving. And I pray that it would overflow even beyond our borders. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And I do want to close also by inviting you to a time of prayer after our time of worship. If you are feeling tired, if all this talk of exercise makes you feel even more tired, please get prayer. God wants to bring you energy. If you're feeling excited, I would encourage you to come for prayer because God wants to empower you to share your excitement with our community. Finally, if you feel like this is new and feels awkward, we want to pray that God would give you a sort of sense of humor and the fact that you can step into this as a newbie, and that would be fine. So if for this or any other reason, we want to invite you to pray for us, even as we invite you to continue in worship with us right now.